The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. 6 minutes past 12 today. 47 new cases of COVID were diagnosed yesterday. We now have 237 active cases, including two people in Nobles Hospital, neither of which is in ICU. 187 people are waiting for a result of a test, and 91 people booked in today for a test from the vaccination dashboard. 65,456 first doses have been administered. 63,839 second doses. 102 people booked in over the next 7 days for a jab, and the Department of Health and Social Care has got a big freezer with 14,412 shots of vaccine currently in stock. It is polling day today on the Isle of Man. I do hope if you haven't already voted, you will be getting out to vote. Of course, we have coverage non-stop from 6 o'clock tonight on Manx Radio. So we're not going to talk much about politics today, because obviously there's an election going on and the big decisions are made at the ballot box. But I do want to start today. Unfortunately, I have some bad and sad news to break to you. If you've listened to Manx Radio at any time over the past 50, 55 years, you've lost a friend and we've lost a colleague. We lost Bernie Quayle yesterday. Bernie Quayle sadly died at the age of 80.
Bernie Quayle was born at the Jane Crookle Maternity Home. He was a war baby, 1941. From Christian Brothers School, he went to Ballycommeen and then St Ninian's, and from there to be a trainee manager in Woolworths on Strand Street. And he went with Woolies to Belfast and Liverpool. Then he became a commercial traveller for Mackintosh's confectionery before moving to London as a salesman for Bear Brand Hosiery during the swinging 60s. His early career was nothing if not varied. It was while he was a croupier at the Palace Hotel in Douglas he established his early contacts with Manx Radio through friendship with Peter Neal and his work on documentaries.
I was always very, very interested in radio. My father had done some work for T.H. Kilburn, had built him a radio shack in Ballasalla, and as part payment had received from him a transceiver, a shortwave radio transmitter receiver. And I was fascinated. My dad used to sit up in the attic with his earphones on, listening and talking to people around the world.
When an announcer's job came up, he went for it and got it. And that led to presenting a music programme.
And as all our regular listeners will know by now, on a Friday morning just after 9, it's Happy Anniversary. Well, this is the time of the day we pass on greetings to couples who may be celebrating their wedding anniversaries around this time. And each week, one of the lucky couples receive a beautiful bouquet of flowers with the kind compliments of Mr. Sidney McGee. I'll tell you more about that in a few moments' time. First of all, this Friday morning, we're saying hello and congratulations to
Shortly
Mr.
afterwards,
and Mrs.
an extraordinary
w.
opportunity arose when he was invited, at a greatly enhanced salary, he notes, to become Sir Bernard at WNOX in Knoxville, Tennessee. Among the highlights of Bernie's Manx Radio career was his research and then interviews with the Bee Gees, who spent their youths on the island. He developed a firm relationship with the Brothers Gibb.
Hi, this is Barry.
This is Robin.
And this is Maurice Gibb.
The Bee Gees come home to Ellen Bannon on Christmas Day.
When the three of you get together, I mean, does, like, one of you come up with a song title, a song idea? And how is the song born as the Brothers Gibb?
Through conflict, and when I say conflict, I don't mean anything bad. I mean
we
come
up with a punch up.
Yeah. but we sound each other out on different things, on titles, on lyrics, on melodies, and we're all each other's sounding board, as it were. So if one of us sings something and the other two go, you know, not quite what we're all looking for, that we all three of us understand that, and. On the other hand, if one of us comes up with something really good, the response is also immediate. So
that's the other one takes credit for it.
Yes.
Bernie became synonymous with The Late Show, which he made very popular by working hard to find and play requests. Like the late David Collister, Bernie had a voice that was instantly recognisable on the Isle of Man. He is, and always will be, part of the Manx Radio story.
It's 11 minutes past 12 midday on Manx Radio. We've lost Bernie Quayle, one of the big voices of Manx Radio since the 1960s. So let's hear how Bernie started his Manx Radio career. This was a Christmas show he did with Geraldine Jameson in 2009.
I was always very, very interested in radio. My father had done some work for T.H. Kilburn, had built him a radio shack in Ballasalla, and as part payment had received from him a transceiver, a shortwave radio transmitter receiver. And I was fascinated. My dad used to sit up in the attic with his earphones on, listening and talking to people around the world. And the family was always glued to the radio from the early years after the war. I had taken an interest in making home movies, and I'd been working for the casino and did a trip on the HMS, or the Royal Mail Ship, the Andes, all the way in Africa, came back with loads of film, and I wanted to add a soundtrack. So I was very friendly with Peter Neal, and I was going down to the station, this is 1966, and borrowing albums to make up my soundtrack. The manager then was Ray Joyce, and asked what I was doing, and told him. And I said, my only problem is that I'm trying to do a commentary, and I have to plug my microphone into the projector, and you get all the projector noise. So he offered me the use of the studio, and because we closed down then in 67 at 7 o'clock. And so thanks to Ray Joyce, I was able to record my commentary, viewing it from one studio through the glass. And when he saw it, he said, why didn't you apply for the job? What job? He said, we've been advertising for a presenter, or an announcer, he said then. And I suddenly was shunted into the shortlist, and I got the job. So it's happened by accident, and I was delighted. My first broadcast was July of 1967.
My goodness, and you've never looked back?
No, I haven't.
No, indeed.
Loved it all.
It's 13 minutes past 12. We couldn't talk about Bernie Quayle without talking about his comrade in arms for many, many years. George Ferguson is with us. George, when did you first meet Bernie? How old were you?
It was 1967, in actual fact, the year that Bernie started at Manx Radio. I was scurrying around trying to get a job, basically. And I met Bernard, and then he suddenly decided to go to America. And he disappeared, came back. He went to see his sister in America, and then came back and said, I'm going to America. I said, are you, Bernard? For heaven's sake, I've only just got to know you. Over the years, of course, we've known each other non-stop.
And what was his sister doing in America at the time?
I'm not sure. I think she was hairdressing or something of that nature.
Okay, so Knoxville in Tennessee. Knoxville in Tennessee, which Bernard went to Knoxville. And in those days, you just couldn't get a visa. You weren't allowed just to go over to America. You had to get permission to go over there. And then you went, George.
I did. fortunately. I went there, but Bernard got his green card, or I think that's what it's called, early. So he scuttled off to America, and it was Sir Bernard J. Quayle. That was the moniker that he had. And I went over thinking to myself, I can do this. It's not the slightest problem.
Did you have the requisite forms, George?
No, I didn't have the requisite forms, unfortunately. But we got to America, and Bernard was staying in a trailer, in a trailer park, which I couldn't get my head round. There he was. And we went to WNOX, and he sat down and said, right, I'm going to do my program now. And he played 40 records, and that was it, nonstop, back to back.
Wow.
And that was a top 40 radio station. And that's what he did. I thought, this is not right. This isn't the way of the world. But it was in America.
Right.
And it was a completely different ballgame, completely different ballgame. And then we went, I can remember going to Nashville. We went to Nashville, and we were scurrying around Nashville, as you do. And I can remember going on stage and introducing some people at the Grand Ole Opry. And then we went to see Roy Orbison The reason we went to see Roy Orbison was because one of the Five Penny Piece was a member of the band, was a banksman. And I can't remember his name now. And he said, whenever you're in Nashville, pop up and see Roy. So I did, just like that. And we went in and knocked on the door, of course, and Bernard, of course, was saying, you're not going to get in, you're not going to get in. But we did. Mm. Unfortunately, we couldn't see Roy because Roy was going away on tour or whatever. So I was then told to go up to see Johnny Cash. So we did.
Just like that?
Yeah. And we knocked on his door and we said hello and got in.
Bernie left America, went to South Africa, and then you came back to Manx Radio from the UK, and you brought Bernie back to Manx Radio.
I did. He was scurrying around in ShopRite, and he came up to me and he said, "Here." I said, "Oh, yes, Bernard, what?" He said, "I hear that the late night show is up for grabs. I'm available." I said, "Okay. Are you any good?" He said, "Well, you know I am, for heaven's sakes." I said, "Right, okay, thank you." So I employed him. And it was one of the best things we ever did.
It's difficult to sum, and this is the time to do it because we've lost him. Bernie was an immense character, a lover of life. But can you sum up Bernie Quayle? I mean, as a broadcaster and also as a man.
That's asking me to say something I should regret. He was a bad lad. He was a great man. He was a very good broadcaster. He liked drink, and he liked his cigarettes. He also was passionate about filmmaking and about editing and so forth. But primarily, Bernard, his main love was broadcasting. Mm. And that came across every time he opened the microphone.
When you say bad, you mean mischievous.
Yes.
There's nothing malicious about Bernie.
No, absolutely.
There was nothing. I mean, but what you see with Bernie was what you got. He was Bernie, and everybody who knew Bernard knew he had an immense twinkle in his eye.
Yeah,
he did. A man who, as you say, Bernard liked fine wine. He liked to eat well. He loved romance. Bernie loved his romance, and he also put his life into his broadcasting. And people knew that, didn't they? The listeners knew that.
Of course they did. And not only did they know it, but also they respected him for it, which was a great achievement.
I want to talk about technology as well. Bernie, I mean, we heard about the fact that, he got a shortwave transceiver. He was a big fan of making films. But I remember when I came to Manx Radio in 1998, Bernard would not stop talking about the internet to me.
He was fascinated by every single evolvement of technology and embraced it. Whereas I don't. Mm. I mean, I don't know whether you do, but I don't. But he embraced it and used it to great effect.
And when Manx Radio was on the internet right at the very beginning.
Yes, we were.
And broadcasting all over the world. And Bernie relished the fact. And people didn't know really how far the internet was going to go. And Bernie got connections all over the world. Bernard was the one who used to fill our audio streams all the time, and people would be complaining. Do you remember in the early days? I think we had 12 audio streams.
Yeah.
Only 12 people could log on to the internet. And Bernard would come in moaning about the fact people couldn't hear in Toledo or in Seattle or in Brisbane or in Hong Kong. And he said, we have to get more capacity on the internet. And he never stopped. And that was the thing. Bernard may have been, 80 when he passed away, but he was young at heart.
Oh, he was very, very much so. And he thoroughly enjoyed the technology. He thoroughly enjoyed the innovations of radio. And he would be distraught now taking a look at seeing what radio is now. It's nowhere near as it was.
As you say, I mean, luckily at Manx Radio, we have live presenters. We're on all the time, but certainly across America, those little mama and papa stations, they call them, the small town radio stations, probably WNOX, probably comes from a satellite somewhere. They probably have one show a day.
Yes.
Whereas in those days, it was 100 mile an hour all the time as well. Why didn't Bernie get drafted when he went over there?
I don't know, is the answer to that.
Because at the time, in the 1960s, everybody... You didn't get drafted, did you, George?
I got a call.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I got a call and I left Knoxville and I went and hid in a toilet in Chicago Airport for 6 hours waiting for my plane
to come. You didn't want to be a rear gunner on a helicopter in Vietnam?
No, I didn't.
So in conclusion, George, you knew Bernie for a long, long time as a broadcaster, as a bloke. I think, did you share a flat together at one time?
No, I didn't share a flat. That would have been beyond the pale.
That would have been, wouldn't it? But I seem to remember, didn't Bernie used to ride up to Manx Radio on his bicycle at one time?
He did. He rode up to Manx Radio on his bicycle. He used to drop in to me, because I used to live up at Douglas Head, and he used to drop in to me and then sway up the road quite merrily towards his programme. But he was... Bernard was a joyous character, and he loved every single minute of every single day. And I can remember his mother. We went to his house in Windsor Road, in Windsor Terrace, I think it is, and... She threw a tin of pineapple at him. And Bernard just ducked and it missed him. And he just went, "Missed, Mum. See ya." And off he went. And that's Bernard to a T.
George, thanks for talking to us today. It's a pleasure on a dreadful day because we've lost Bernie Quayle.
Have you seen this? We could get a new car from Motormall now and pay nothing till 2022.
That's nice, dear.
There's hundreds of new and used cars to choose from with great part exchange deals.
That's nice, dear.
No repayments till 2022. We'd save a fortune for Christmas.
That's nice, dear.
Oh, by the way, I'm eloping with the milkman.
That's nice, eh?
Oh, so you are listening. Buy now. Repay nothing till 2022 with Motormall. The nice people to deal with. Call in at Cool Road, Braddon now.
Most worthwhile things in life need care right from the start. At Moore Stephens Business Sense, we know that from experience. We've coached 150 startup businesses. Our suite of services supports the very personal needs of those courageous individuals who set out in businesses of their own. Yes, we're part of Moore Global, operating in more than 110 countries, but we understand that big or small, business requires the personal touch. Trust us today to take it personally when you call on 662020.
The Welbeck Hotel and Restaurant on Mona Drive is in business once more for dinner and Sunday lunches with a variety of magnificent dishes available and special rates for an overnight stay in one of our beautiful rooms or apartments. The Welbeck also run theme nights throughout the year with exciting food on offer, Spanish nights, South African nights, and many more. Just visit WelbeckHotel.com to find out more and to book, or phone 675-663. Dine safely at the Welbeck Hotel.
Jump aboard the time train and take a trip back to the 1960s on Carnaby Street every Saturday morning at 8:30 with Isle of Man Railways. It's full of 60s hits and memories. On board the time train, Gladys the Tea Lady.
Right, boys.
Harry the Driver.
Hello, crispy old mate.
Roger the Fireman.
All aboard Isle of Man Railways time train.
Oh, and Raffles the Dog. And, of course, you and me. You can win tickets for two for one of the Isle of Man Railways' fantastic dining car experiences. Carnaby Street, 8:30, on Manx Radio, on AMFM, online, on smart speakers, and all over the world at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Good afternoon, Festamai, 12:25, and thanks to Bob, who just dropped a note in to say there's an accident on Lower Summer Hill Road, Onken Douglas area. Please avoid the air. An accident on Lower Summer Hill Road at the moment, so do take care. If you've got any memories of Bernie you'd like to share, by the way, then do get in touch. Any thoughts on the matter? This will be the place to talk about it, and I know Bernard will be smiling at us now because Bernard loved being on the radio and just loved people, as George said. He absolutely lit up the room when he came in. He lit up a cigarette as well, it has to be said. Just some more notes. We'll have a bit more on Bernie in a moment. No candidates mentioned having a proper bus station in Douglas, with toilets, waiting room and information desk instead of the shambles, says Patrick. Well, I think we did. Some people have mentioned it, by the way, but We'll find out tomorrow, won't we, what's going to happen as well. Andy said, I noticed only a few people turned out at your debates. Why was that? Well, we planned our outside broadcast under COVID conditions, so we restricted all the audience. And, of course, sometimes people didn't turn up. In fact, we had one particular person booked a ticket for everyone and didn't show up. Don't forget, sir, we know who you are. So next time you apply, we may apply editorial judgment. Lots of people booked two and three tickets and only turned up themselves. But you do what you do. And remember, we were doing radio programmes. A quick word about Beach Buddies, by the way. Jerby, this weekend, there's a community clean-up with Beach Buddies around the village on Sunday morning from 10:30 with a big bonus of cakes afterwards. So Beach Buddies in Jerby this Sunday, 10:30 Sunday morning. The folks from Jerby do it on a regular basis. There's always a good turnout of volunteers, no doubt encouraged by the spread of cakes and refreshments at the community centre. The Quaggan family get it all together then. The session lasts till noon, 10:30 till noon, and they Beach Buddies supply all the equipment and take the rubbish away afterwards, recycling as much as they can. By the way, if you can bring cakes, that will be nice. You don't have to, but it would be lovely if you could. So that's Beach Buddies Jerby this Sunday morning, 10:30, to a community clean-up around the village of Jerby as well. So all the best to you. It is Thursday. It is election day, polling day, but nothing stops the farmers' market in St John's Church Hall from 11 till 3. They're on till 3. Join Sheila and Dot and all the gang with the fresh local produce direct from the producers. We've lost Bernie Quayle at the age of 80. Bernard J. Quayle was born in 1941. 28th of January 1941. He had his 80th birthday earlier on this year. Bernie was born at the Jane Crookle Maternity Home in Domain Road in Douglas about 8:15 in the evening, 2 weeks overdue, weighing in at 10 pounds, 12 ounces. As one of his former bosses, Mark Tiley.
He was a great friend to me and to everyone at Manx Radio, but he was also a great friend to the audience because not only was he a brilliant, consummate, professional broadcaster, he was an engaging broadcaster, an emotional broadcaster who'd reach out to the audience and they responded massively to him, to things he was doing. If he was organising something for charity or invited to do something, they'd support him like mad. And one of the things I want to get out straight away is when he went to America, because he went over to America to be a broadcaster, to try his hand there, he achieved something that hardly any people from Great Britain have achieved. He became famous and he made it in America as a Manxman. So much so that they lauded him. I mean, he was Sir Bernard of Quayle over there. And then, of course, he brought all that experience back to the Isle of Man. Now, at that time, when this was all happening, America was way ahead in radio, particularly commercial radio, because they'd started commercial radio so much before, long before we did over here. So the expertise he brought back to the Isle of Man was amazing. And to have that on Manx Radio was just so beneficial.
That's Mark Tiley, Bernie Quayle's, one of Bernie Quayle's many former bosses, that was. It's 12:30 now, and Andrew's with us. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Andy. Very sad about Bernie, very sad. Just picking up on what Mark was saying, it's a pity somebody from the station there can't get some current exposure out in the States like Bernie did. Maybe the Kane brothers with their jazz show or something like that. Anyway, I'm on this morning, please, on this afternoon, please, to talk about COVID. And it's reported there in the FT today, COVID cases among England school children hit record peak. COVID cases among school children in England have surged to a record high, raising the spectre of further educational disruption and a fresh wave of infection in older groups. New cases among 5 to 14-year-olds increased by 80% week on week. in the period ending September 19, eclipsing their previous peak record in late July. The steep jump in COVID-19 infections among children has been followed by an uptick in cases affecting people aged 30 to 49, their parents' generation, having grown 7% in the past 4 days.
And what do you think we can do about that on the island?
Well, you've just reported there are 47 new cases,
yeah,
238 active cases, and 91 booked in for tests. So, on the stats, how many of these are now school children that are the active cases?
It'll be interesting. They're always talking about, and they've gone on about mitigation now, Andrew, living with the virus. And obviously, because so many people have now been double jabbed, we've got nearly 64,000 people double jabbed, and the prospect of a booster as well. I'm guessing, I hate that phrase, herd immunity, but maybe that's where we are at the moment. And obviously, you're quite right. When the moment the schools go back, all the coughs and colds and everything start circulating.
Exactly. So how many of those 238 active cases relate to children in the, what was the age range, 5 to 14-year-olds?
I just wonder how confident you are about the situation we're in. How do you feel personally about the situation, Andrew?
I'm reasonably happy, waiting for my third dose, take sensible precautions. If a large supermarket looks very busy, put a mask on, always use the hand gel on the basket or the trolley, etc.
Yeah, that's interesting because there are, I mean, the supermarkets have got the gel and they've got the tissue paper and they've got the hand sanitizer, but lots of people just walk straight past them.
Yeah, not me, though. Also on the figures, you have 91 booked in for tests. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm just filling some documentation out to go away on business to Amsterdam. And in October, and we are a red list country, but it's okay. I've got an invitation letter which I've downloaded, which means I can go through their quarantine, the government of the Netherlands quarantine declaration, and say I'm exempt from quarantine because I'm going to provide a significant contribution to the Dutch economy, and I can prove this by presenting the following supporting document: a letter of invitation from a Dutch business. But I still have to have a PCR test before I go. So my question is, of these 91 people booked in for tests, how many of them are actually related to people who need a PCR test for overseas travel?
Maybe, yes. They all may also may be people who are returning from an area outside what used to be the common travel area as well.
Are totally meaningless there if you strip out, unless you strip out those sort of people.
That's I'm interested in the fact that you can bypass the Dutch the Dutch quarantine scheme because you're worth money to them.
Ostensibly, potentially, yes.
Mm. Okay.
But I mean, these 91 people booked in for tests, it doesn't on the dashboard say how many of them are booked in because it's something travel-related to go off-island. So it makes it look false that there's 91 people here who potentially have COVID.
Well, we could ask them, but you know what they'd say, Andrew?
It's your own responsibility.
GDPR.
No, that's not an answer because it's just numbers.
Yeah, I agree. All right, thanks for being with us, Andrew.
They could say that there's 47 for travel island.
Okay, all right, thanks, Andrew. Here's Tommy with us now. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Andy. I've just came through COVID yesterday with a negative test, and even though I've been double vaccinated in February, March,
So you got a negative test. You haven't got COVID, Tommy.
No, I'm out of it now, but I was shocked when I found no. I did have it there, and my niece recognised some symptoms, and she took me up. It's only yards up the road, and then the good woman up there took a swab test, and then it came back, and my niece said it's positive.
Oh, good. Look. And when did you get COVID? When was it?
I don't know, Andy. I mean, nobody. You can't pick a specific date out and say that I've caught it there that afternoon. I don't know, and I don't know who off, you know, because I mean I don't get around an awful lot with big crowds or anything, Andy, you know.
Did you feel, Tommy?
Well, I wasn't bad with it, you see, Andy. That was one of the things. Some people are really. My neighbour up the road, she's been through a really bad time with it. But fortunately, but just the same, Andy, you've got to do what's right. And I self-isolated for 10 days. And then I took a test yesterday and it was negative, you know, so...
And could you smell and taste?
Oh, it's terrible, Andy, yeah. You lose your... even now, I've lost a lot of taste for a lot of things, Andy. I just hope they come back there, you know, and that. But it was a bit of a shock to think, you know, to realise that you'd be. So I think they should push this booster jabs out as soon as they can, Andy, you know, to prevent further people from going down with it.
Okay. All right, Tommy, we wish you well. Okay, look after yourself.
And you, Andy. Cheers, mate. Thanks.
All right, good to be with you. I've got some messages in. We lost Bernie Quayle at the age of 80. Bernie passed away. At the age of 80, our former colleague at Manx Radio, good friend to everybody in the radio station, worked around the world. He worked in South Africa, worked in the United States, as we heard, big on WNOX. He worked at WOHO, W-O-H-O, in Toledo and Ohio as well. And I mentioned the fact that, and George mentioned the fact that in the 60s, you couldn't really just pitch up in America. You had to have a work permit. How did Bernie get it? Well, Bernie got it because it was all about the casino that was operated. The casino that was operated in the 1960s in Douglas. And George Turnbull was the detective inspector in charge of the raid on the casino in Douglas. The casino opened in 1964, was operated by a group of Americans. And as the result, there was a raid, including Uncle George, who was a detective inspector. The FBI actually came over because they thought there was something a little nefarious to do with the casino. So the FBI pitched up, and Uncle George Turnbull, detective inspector, was in charge. And George Turnbull had made friends with one of the FBI people. And when George, Bernie's uncle, knew that Bernie needed a green card in America, what did George do? Phoned the FBI up. They discussed Bernie's application. The next thing, Bernie got a visa to go to America. That's the Manx way, isn't it, eh? Phone up somebody you know. So George Turnbull, the DI in charge of the raid on the casino the FBI were involved in, helped to get Bernie the green card to go to America to work in radio. Those were the days. Ewan's with us. Hi, Ewan.
I must try that, Andy. I must try that one. That's
what you need to do. Oh, Juan, sorry. Hi, Juan.
Yeah, call me anything you want. I was... you're talking about Bernie, and I just a memory of Bernie, and I spoke with Bernie in... going back to 99, I was taking a team from the Isle of Man out to America, and I messaged Bernie. I said, is there any chance that you can set up a meeting with the Gibb brothers while we were out there? And... Bernie got back to me and he said, yeah, sure. He said, I'll message them and I'll message their manager at the time, Dick. He said, they always like to see people from the Isle of Man if they can and everything. And good enough, Bernie got back to us within a few days and he said, yeah, I've spoke to Dick and he said that they'd be really keen on seeing, you know, people that, you know, came from the Isle of Man. And we were out in Fort Lauderdale. We went out to Fort Lauderdale and their recording studios weren't far away. And it was just a pity at the time that they were just recording and they couldn't break away from what they were doing to see us in that time period we were there. But good enough. Bernie made the connection for us and got in touch with them. So yeah, it's interesting that there's so many like people connected to the Isle of Man all around the world.
And the fact is, Bernie could always find a connection with the Isle of Man. I remember him telling me once, and he had many, many stories, Bernie. And one was about the fact he was in WOHO in Toledo in Ohio, and Engelbert Humperdinck came to town. Now, Engelbert Humperdinck was always much bigger in America than he was in Britain. He was a superstar over there, and Engelbert was playing a concert, and Bernie got inveigled his way in to go backstage to interview Engelbert Humperdinck. And there's Engelbert sitting regally, you know, in his velvet suit in the dressing room. And Bernie said, I walked in and said, well, the last time I saw you, you were playing the Palais de Danse in Douglas. Which, of course, he was. Because Engelbert Humperdinck was Jerry Dorsey,
yeah.
And he appeared at the Palais de Danse, what's now Waterstones in Strand Street.
That's right. He
appeared, and Bernie said from then on, Engelbert was his best friend. He had, instead of the customary 5 minutes, he had about a 40-minute interview. And, Bernie could charm the birds from the trees.
Yeah, it's great stories, isn't it? And, you know, another true character lost from presenting. That's for sure. But it's very interesting that people from the island can reach so far away and meet so many different people of that caliber, isn't it? And just on a note before I leave, and just I spoke to a few people this morning, and they were getting asked by the Manx Radio team on people coming out of the voting, asking who they were voting for. Might be a little bit better if your team stood a little bit further away for the straw poll, because they were right in earshot of all the candidates, and people were saying, I'm not telling you. So maybe if they stood a little bit further away from the candidates, they might get a bit of a truer figure of the voting figures as they're coming out.
Well, we'll find out tonight at 8 o'clock. All right, Julian.
See you, Andy.
Good to talk to you. And Eric's with us now. Hi, Eric.
Hiya. And Bernie Quayle used to be really good to listen to him the night time. But I remember the last interview he did. I wondered whether he was going to mention that, where he said Manx Radio sacked him on the day, no notice, no pay, nothing to pay his rent and nothing to buy his food with.
I wasn't aware of that. When was that?
Well, when he was sacked. When did he last work on Manx Radio?
I haven't a clue, Eric.
Well, that is exactly what he said.
Wow.
That's what happened to him. And he was very bitter to Manx Radio for doing what he did, and I think they were a disgrace.
Oh, well, I have to tell you, Eric, I knew Bernie really well, and he never displayed any bitterness, so I don't quite know where you're getting that from. Maybe today's not quite the day to talk about Bernie like that.
Fancying something a bit different to eat? Try the Lemongrass Thai Restaurant at the Ginger Hall in Sulby. Bursting with traditional Thai dishes cooked to perfection by our very own Chef Veeman. Chicken katsu curry, crispy duck in sweet soy sauce, and king prawn Thai green curry. Just a few examples from their diverse menu. Vegans and vegetarians are also well catered for. See why Lemongrass is being called one of the best new restaurants for eat-in and takeaway on the island. At lemongrass88.com.
Tickets are now available for this season's range of onboard dining events, featuring old favourites including the legendary Pie and Mash Train, the Curry Club and many more. Or take your taste buds on a trip to remember with our fabulous Dining Cars of the World and Steam Theme events. To find out what's cooking on the dining car and to book, call 697 457 or visit rail.im.
Grill, bake, steam, boil, stir fry, simmer, fry, roast, slow cook, griddle, toast. An Aga can do it all. An Aga isn't just an amazing cooker, it's a way of life. Aga specialist Haldane Fisher can recommend an Aga for every home. Call in store and discover the range and join thousands of owners who love coming home to Aga's warmth, style and practicality. Haldane Fisher for Aga. home to great cooking.
Mike's Motors of Castletown is your local family-owned car, van and motorhome dealer. Down at Mike's Motors, we have a whole range of affordable vehicles with up to 7 years finance easily arranged and part exchange welcome. We buy and sell motorhomes too and have a fantastic choice in stock right now. Perfect for any staycation on our beautiful island. Visit our website, mikesmotors.im, for our latest stock. Or call 823 200. That's 823 200.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekend partner is Miller Chaps of Ramsey. Your chance to win £250 of artwork or accessories with a huge range of artifacts to pick from. All you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay on all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on The Breakfast Show on Monday morning at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a winner here on The Nation Stage. Manx Radio with Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thank you. 14 minutes before one. Howard's with us. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. I'm just sad to hear about Bernie. We regular, well, listened to Manx Radio since the day it started, and Bernie was part and parcel of it. And it used to be enjoyable to listen to his evening programs, the night programs. But also, people tend to forget, Manx Radio was full of characters like Bernie. You had David Collister, where he used to do the programs the way we were. Then John Kenick, who sadly passed away, and Kelly's Eyes. And they were programs that used to have an active interest for the Isle of Man and people who lived here and people who were born here. And Bernie was never short of a skeet. He used to be able to ferret little bits and pieces of information out that were always interesting. But now, unfortunately, or fortunately for some, it's wall-to-wall music, which becomes a bit repetitive. But Manx Radio, funny enough, I came across one of David Collis's old CDs the way they were the other day, and I must put it on and play it. But they were always interesting programs. And if I remember David, when he used to be standing outside government office with his little wooden box and his microphone waiting to interview. And that's the way the station was then. In its, well, learning stages, it's obviously moved on a great deal now. But Bernie is one of these people that will never be forgotten. He will always be remembered as the gentleman. And it was always interesting to listen to him because not only did he play a good selection of music, but as I said before, he also had the skeet. So, as I say, it's a sad day. We've got Terry Kringle yet, the history man. And those programs did instill a little bit of localized history and localized interest. Whereas you can put any radio station on now and virtually listen to the same music.
Well, as George Ferguson was saying earlier on, I mean, obviously we don't get to hear any kind of local or regional radio from other parts of Britain on the Isle of Man, but I mean, a lot of it is not at all local. A lot of it is kind of networked across areas and what have you, and they finish at 7 o'clock at night, and things aren't what they were, but that's the same everywhere. I mean, right across North America, I mentioned all the little stations have all gone. You know, you have a town of the size of the Isle of Man would have maybe 6 radio stations, all gone.
Yes.
All gone
yes.
now.
But this is what the tourist board, as it used to be called, referred to as, it's our difference that makes the difference. And why should we just be part of another pavement section of a huge conglomerate? This is the Isle of Man. Manx Radio, as you keep broadcasting, is our national radio station. And this is where the information and general knowledge comes through from what we're... we've lost a lot of presenters, as I say. We've got Terry Kringle left now. But and yourself, with all your knowledge, is very good. Listen to your programmes. Sunday morning, etc. is brilliant. But this is what's happening. The localization of radio stations is diminishing, and the Isle of Man should look carefully at what they're given.
And also, and then, I mean, I have to say, I'm going to speak up for the other two radio stations on the Isle of Man, for 3FM. And now, they are Manx-owned. Remember, they're Manx-owned. They're not owned by conglomerates here, there and everywhere. They're owned by local people on the Isle of Man, and they're run for the benefit of the Isle of Man. So the Isle of Man is well served where that's concerned.
Yes, but these little interesting tidbits that were always introduced in a half-hour program or something like that were always very listenable, and they were very interesting, and they kept the knowledge of the Isle of Man alive.
Well, all I'll tell you, Howard, is that Manx Radio has an absolute treasure trove. We've got an archive which is not 10 feet away from where I'm sitting now. We have an archive absolutely full of material. Now, our long-term aim is to get that available on the internet for anybody to listen to anytime as an interactive feature. But we have thousands and thousands of hours of programs. What we have to do is basically get those transcribed, get them onto a format so that people can listen to them. That does take a lot of resource, having people to do that. But that's something we aim to do. All those, the ones you're talking about, all those programs are recorded, they're kept. The old ones that are on reel-to-reel tape, we try and save them because the tape oxidizes, but the ones that we've got on CD and on minidisc and in digital format, those are there, and we aim to put those out into the public domain.
Yeah. I've got two fellas standing here at the moment. I'm in the Chester Street car park, and they're forcing to put a sticker on the...
You better go, Howard, then. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Thanks,
Andy. 8 minutes before one on Manx Radio. I mentioned we've lost Bernie Quayle at the age of 80. Bernard Quayle, as he was known in America. Bernie has sadly died at the age of 80. He was 80 in January of this year. In the pieces we heard earlier, it was mentioned that Bernie was a croupier at the casino, the very casino that got him the circumstances around which got him the green car to go and work in America. But he was also a croupier at the casino, and he told me another Bernard story. All these come to mind with Bernard. He told me that he trained as a croupier, and you trained with patterned chips. Obviously, the chips normally were different colours. And you trained with patterned chips, and he became a croupier, learnt the whole thing about the wheel, how to spin the wheel, how to send the ball rolling. And there he went through his training, and there he was, a croupier. Bernard lasted, I think, less than two nights. They suddenly found out Bernard was colourblind, and he was giving lots of people a lot more money than they were due. What are the precautions at polling stations? I assume there are some, says David. As an added precaution, shouldn't voters be encouraged to take their own pencil to mark their ballot papers? It's something you can bring up when you go to the... if you fancy taking your own pencil, see what they think as well. I love Bernie. Really miss him. He had a great soft radio voice. Made you feel like he was actually talking to you. And lots of comment about Bernie Quayle. I knew Bernie fairly well, as my late wife and I did nightly quizzes, winning several times. The last time I spoke to him, sadly, well, Bernie was in a care home in Douglas, and Bernie of late was in Ramsey. Thank you, Brian. Thanks for that note as well. Something should be spoken about the cancel culture. I've seen several candidates' posters being defaced. This is disgraceful, says John M. Well, we'll maybe talk about that tonight from 6 o'clock tonight, live on the air. I'll be on air with Beth Espy. We're on till the whole thing finishes, whenever it finishes. Gone midnight, certainly gone midnight it's going to be. So whether we talk about cancel culture and also the pervasive nature of social media, this is something you've possibly heard on Manx Radio, that all the traditional broadcasters, if you like, ourselves, 3FM, Energy, the newspapers, traditional media, if you like, some people like to call the mainstream media, we're governed by laws and statute. There are certain things that we can't do by law. When it comes to the internet, of course, it's like the Wild West. Anything can happen. People can be criticised in certain ways. People can be defamed in certain ways sometimes as well. And who knows where that's going to end up in the future. But as it is at the moment... You have 7 hours and 5 minutes. And Bob said, a more helpful person you could never find. My brother died across and I had a request to have the Lord's Prayer in Manx. No idea where to get it from. Manx wasn't around then as now. So I asked Bernie where I could get it as I was going away the day next. Bernie said, leave it to him. He would see what he could do. He not only found a speaker to make a recording, but he made a CD for me to pick up the next day. You were the best, Bernie. Rest in peace. A hard act to follow, says Bob. Well, everybody seconds that. Sorry to hear about Bernie Quill. We met him while visiting Salisbury Street. He introduced me to the Young Celtic Thunder. Thanks for calling in today. Thanks for being with us. R.I.P. Bernie Quill.